What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be recapping the Washington Wizards' eighth straight loss. A narrow loss, a loss that's probably closer than the numbers look, a 107 to 97 loss to the Denver Nuggets at home. But nonetheless, another valiant effort. They've lost eight straight after a 7-5 stretch. That's one thing. But at the beginning of this losing streak, the first really five games were non-competitive, double-digit, 13-plus point losses. And four of them came, or three of them came on the road. Two had come prior against the Sixers and against the Pelicans. But this team hadn't been playing good basketball at all, and the losing was on top of that. The last three games have been quite different. They've actually played pretty well, and they've played teams that are playing good basketball as of late. Quite close. This is the second game in three nights or three games that they played Denver. Pretty tough. Ended up losing the first one in Denver, the second of a back-to-back, so a pretty tough contest there. Come home against the Clippers and really play them well. If they make some shots, if George is clutch at the end, they probably win that game. And then you come out tonight, and if they didn't shoot as bad as they did, the Wizards probably win this too. So yes, they're losing a lot, and it's probably better for them to lose these games in the tanking scheme of things than to win them. But they're playing better basketball, and I guess if you want to take some small positive away from the last three games, despite them losing, I'd say it's that they've been a lot more competitive against teams that are playing solid basketball as of late. But the story of tonight's game was just the fact that the Wizards couldn't make a bucket. They got really good looks. They got looks that they had been making in recent games, but they couldn't make them. They shot sub 40% from the field at 38%, which is awful. 13 of 43 from three, 30%, also not good. Got to the line a lot. 24 attempts is pretty good for this young team, but they just couldn't make a shot. And down the stretch, they had their chances, but they couldn't pull it out. And what I like about these last three games, despite the fact that they've lost, and despite the fact that they haven't been able to kind of pull away when they've had leads or, create a little bit of a late surge when they're down late, it's teaching this young team how to close games. And they're not closing the games the way that they should. And that's understandable. I mean, a young core of 22, 21, 20-year-olds, Trey Johnson's 19. You can't expect them against grown men, NBA veterans. A team like Denver that has a lot of NBA champions to be able to close these games. And the first game it was Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon that took over when Keyshawn George and others couldn't come through. Against the Clippers, it was James Harden, one of the best players of all time, that completely couldn't be stopped by the Wizards down the stretch. And the Wizards had chances, they just couldn't convert. And tonight, Payton Watson was terrific with 35 points. Jamal Murray came alive in the second half. I think he finished with 24, something like that. And the Wizards again had their opportunities. Keyshawn again couldn't make a couple shots down the stretch. I'm not trying to hate on Key because he's been great the last couple games, but the last 3 minutes he's had looks. He hasn't made them, looks that he probably would make otherwise. And other teams have. The Wizards could execute better. They could turn the ball over less. They could get more defensive stops late in games. But again, this is all going to come over time. Like if you listen to the appearance of it was Bilal, Alex Sarr, and Keyshawn on the Old Man and the Three with Tommy Alter. They all said that one of the biggest things to help them grow their game is just reps, like just getting the ball in their hands in certain situations, in late game situations. Like, they know that's how they're going to grow. And they're not producing right now in terms of these late clutch games. And they relied a lot on CJ McCollum when he was still in DC to kind of take them home. And now he is not here, and Trae Young's on your bench, and you're starting to see that this young team has to find that guy. They have to find who are we going to go to when we need a bucket or a couple buckets with 2, 3 minutes remaining or in the final minute of a game. They've gone to Key the last couple games. He hasn't come through. That doesn't mean they should go away from him, but maybe you'll start to see Bob Carrington make and take some clutch shots. Trey Johnson was good in the fourth quarter, but again, didn't think they got him enough touches when the game mattered most. And so all of these things, yes, it's not going well now, and tonight was another example of close game. They need some of their young guys to step up, and they just get outplayed by more experienced veterans on the other team. But I like that they're getting the reps. I like that they're kind of learning and being taught how they should close games, what to do, but also importantly, what not to do, what shots not to take, what gambles to not take. Keyshawn picked up a couple of fouls in the last minute or two that I don't think he needed to do or commit. And so it's not just Key. Based on my first couple of minutes, you might think I'm picking on him. I actually thought he was great tonight. But late in games, he's had opportunities. He hasn't converted, but I'm glad he's taking the shots, and eventually they'll go in. But that was one of my takeaways tonight, and then the two games prior is the Wizards are playing better basketball. They're losing, and they're losing close games, but they're learning how to eventually maybe win those, later in this season and into next year when they start to compete. So that was one of my big takeaways. Again, Wizards lose 107 to 97. Couldn't make a thing really to save their life in the first half. I tweeted the good of the first half was it was the first the second time all season that they had held an opponent under 50 points in the first half. Denver had 48. It was also, I believe, the lowest output scoring wise for the Wizards in the first half all season with 46 points. So again, good on defense, but I also thought that was just Denver missing shots. Bad on offense, and again, I just thought that was the Wizards missing shots that they usually would make, right? So kind of a slugfest, and Denver pulled away at the end. I mean, Payton Watson's going to get paid. I mean, 35 on 10 of 16, 6 of 8 from 3, 4 blocks. He kind of dominated Sarr, met him twice at the rim, blocked him both times. I've seen some Wizards fans say with the cap space they'd like to sign him. He's going to be a restricted free agent next offseason. Again, he's awesome. And he plays with fire and passion. He plays both sides. Like, it is a player who has the size and length on the wing that fits what Dawkins and Winger like, and they haven't really gone out and signed like that big, splash free agent yet. Like they've gone guys like Marvin Bagley, brought back Anthony Gill, signed Champagne. It's these like low key vet minimum cheap deals, and they haven't yet to kind of give out big money to a splash player that they really trust that can make an impact on this team for future years. Maybe that's Payton Watson. Again, there'll be more talk about that in June and July when free agency starts, but he was awesome. And again, like I didn't think this was a game to be disappointed in with the result. Again, I thought it was a game where Denver just had more playmakers and big time players at this point in their career than the Wizards. And sometimes you got to be okay with that. I did want to make one comment before moving on into some other like performances from Key and Trey, who I thought was great. Well, Riley played well. I had a lot of people tweet at me, and so I would assume, because I experienced this too, that this wasn't just a me and the three other people that commented at me. I would assume this was a full-scale Wizards broadcast issue. But if you were watching the Monumental Sports broadcast of the Wizards game, which, I mean, again, that's probably the only way you can watch if you have Monumental and you're in the DMV area, the audio was a second behind the actual game, which sounds like a minuscule thing to be complaining about, but it throws everything off, and it makes it a far less enjoyable viewing experience. Like, you're still going to be able to get the sights and sounds of the game, but when Keyshawn George goes up for a layup and he completely gets hacked, and then I don't hear the whistle till a second later, and I think he didn't get fouled, like, that throws off the viewing experience. It's the same thing if you're like listening to a music video and like the audio and the video aren't synced. Like, it looks weird. And you can tell at certain instances when you see players talking and the broadcast and all that, like it's off. And I thought it would be solved pretty quickly. I mean, it was the whole game, at least for me. And I don't want to speak for everyone, but it seems like from the comments and DMs I got, it was everyone. It seemed like the Monumental broadcast had a delayed audio by a second or two all game, and they didn't fix it all game. And it's just kind of like, it's not ideal. You're an NBA level broadcast, like mistakes are going to happen, but how did that not get fixed or adjusted at any point throughout the broadcast? And it's a compounded error, I think, when you already pissed off most of the fan base lives in the area that your games are being played in. And when that's the case, you take it of YouTube TV, and you have a lot of people that can't watch your games. When you make an error like this and the broadcast isn't synced, it's going to be compounded. It's going to be, a bigger issue than maybe it seems. And obviously not ideal to watch a game like that. So I wanted to make note of it because I feel like enough people were affected by it, at least my broadcast was. And it doesn't change the result of the game. It really didn't affect my viewing experience too much, but it did affect it. It was something I noticed. And again, with all the stuff that happened before the season with Monumental, it's really the only place a lot of people can watch the games. It's you have 82 broadcasts. Like you should be on the money and on the ball with your audio. And the fact that I guess it didn't get changed all game was something I took note of and just kind of wanted to mention it. Because it maybe you think you were crazy that your audio wasn't synced and you think it was a you issue and you listen to the Wizards podcast and you say, well, Greg also had it and most other Wizards fans had it too. So I wanted to make note of that as well. Actually talking about the game and returning to that, I mentioned some of the missed shots and turnovers down the stretch from Keyshawn George. Don't let that diminish the Sorry, I muted myself. Don't let that diminish the fact that he had another really solid game in what's been a pretty good stretch of showings from Keyshawn ever since he's kind of worked his way back from that hip injury that sidelined him for 7 games. Again, another 20-point performance, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 turnovers. It's not great, but I think he had 6 the game before, so improvement. thought I appreciated what he was able to do on the glass. I tweeted out that other Wizards were going to have to step up tonight. No Marvin Bagley with an illness, no Tristan Vukcevic, who's still dealing with that hamstring strain. I believe the third straight game that he's missed. Without those two, was Sarr. And without Sarr, Anthony Gill played some backup minutes, but only 12. So the Wizards had a heavy reliance on their forwards when Alex was on the bench. And I thought Key stepped up there with 12 boards and was pretty helpful on the glass. So that was nice to see the assists again. There was a couple skip passes I think he might want to have back. But overall, I liked how he distributed the basketball. Thought he found his teammates. And again, you're seeing him get more comfortable in that kind of on-ball role. The only downside, again, is the efficiency. And he was, I believe, like 6 of 13, 6 of 14 at one point. Then he missed the couple shots down the stretch. But overall, I didn't hate the shots he took. And especially with a lot of guys out, no Bagley, no Tristan, no Koulibaly, you had to take a more aggressive offensive approach. 2 of 6 from three still isn't bad. So that's the one gripe on his game. And I think it's a gripe that I might not need to make, but I'm going to make it anyway, because I actually like the looks that he created for himself. Just thought got some unlucky bounces, missed some shots, especially one of the transition open threes he took that would have brought the game to single, I think one possession with about 2 minutes left. So again, down the stretch, these are all shots that I think, Keyshawn can make and has shown that he can make. He just hasn't been able to the last 3 games. So I thought he was good. Trey Johnson is just, he's getting so much better at showcasing he's more than a shooter, while also reminding everyone on a game-per-game basis that he's the best shooter on this team. He finished with 19 points, 7 of 14 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 3 boards, 3 assists. I loved the fact that there was a couple of threes that he made, but there was one in particular where he like caught the ball inside the arc, running into the corner. Kind of a bad pass, but corralled it and was able to take one dribble, step out to the corner three in the face of a defender and drill it. Like the ability to just compose himself and when he gets to his spot, knock it down is so impressive. And that's what the Wizards knew he could do coming out of the draft. But the ability that he's shown in recent games to put it on the deck has been even better, arguably. He had a nice runner off glass at some point, I think in the third quarter, where he had 11 of his 19 points. Had a couple of floaters where he's really utilizing that pump fake to be able to get his defender in the air when they start to respect his three ball and then sort of step in. And instead of taking that mid-range, it seems like the float game off one leg is what he's best at. But then you start to see that transcend into he gets to his spot and it's a 2-on-1. And instead of taking the floater when he attracts the defender because he's shown an ability to make the floater, he finds Alex Sarr or whatever big is there. He did it twice with Alex Sarr tonight. And so I really enjoyed the ascension of his game where he's showing an ability to, you out at me hard on your clothes with the three. I'm gonna deck. And I'm gonna go in and get my own. And then after that, buddy, if you're gonna come out at him for the test on the floater, that he's gonna come and kind of distribute the basketball as well. So I've played his ability to do that. And apart from that,
The only other guy I wanted to highlight was Will Riley.
because I thought off the bench, 13 on 4 of 10, 3 of 7 from 3, plus 5. I really enjoyed the different ways he scored. He made three threes, and that was the bulk of his points. But the other two, he got to the line twice in the third quarter. Only made half those free throws, but the ability to get to the line to put the ball on the deck and get fouled, at his age, at this point in his career, that's always going to be applauded. That
Where he stepped in.
by the 3-point line, made a couple moves, a nice drop step into a pretty tough layup. Thought it was an and one. So I enjoyed what he was able to kind of flash off the bench. Again, 13, it's 2 points off his career high. Three threes, I would assume either ties his career high or sets his career high. I'm not sure. But thought those three guys played particularly well in those roles. Bub Carrington started again nearly 40 minutes, most on the team. 13 points, that's nice. Made a couple threes, but again, you're not seeing that progression that you saw from Bub during that stretch where he couldn't miss, right? You would like to see him limit turnovers and bring those assists up. And tonight he didn't either. I mean, 5 turnovers and 2 assists as your point guard. That's the exact opposite direction of where you want to be going. You wanted to see the Wizards sort of winning his minutes. He was a minus 18, which was tied for worst on the team. You wanted to see him get more paint touches, not only for his teammates, but for himself. Get to the rim, get to the lane, get to your mid-range spot. Get inside the arc, and he took 14 shots tonight. 13 of them were from three, and the only one he didn't take from three, he made. And so, you see a lot of these
To improve, and he does it as
point, but it's few and far between because some games like this, he reverts back to his old ways where he's chucking transition threes, and when they go in, they look great. When they don't, it's not great. 3 of 13 from three, and on a regular team that's trying to compete, I don't think they would allow a guy, their starting point guard, to shoot 3 of 13 from three with 5 turnovers and 2 assists. But that's the beauty, I guess, of this Wizards team and the rebuilding team that they have is they'll allow Bob Carrington to have nights like this, and because they know eventually, they believe in the development system and believe in Bob to put in the work to turn it around. But 3 of 13 is not where you want to be from distance, and certainly not one of Bob Carrington's better games this year. I thought Alex Saar offensively had some good moments, finished with 15 and 8, but also thought he reverted back again to some fadeaway layups. Wasn't going up as strong as you'd seen him do in previous games. And honestly, defensively, thought he lost his matchup. I thought. He typically struggles with bigger, bruising centers, and I thought Jonas Valanciunas, his former teammate for half of last season, just kind of dominated him down low. Against a guy like that who has that weight advantage, Alex knows he needs to do a lot of his defensive work before before Valanciunas gets the ball. But too often he allowed JV to get position, take two dribbles. He's already at the rim, dunked on Saar a couple times. I think he had 16 on 6 of 13 from the field. 9 boards. So I realistically thought that offensively I didn't mind what Alex was able to do, but on the defensive end thought he lost the matchup, which doesn't happen often.
But tonight thought he got bullied against a center that's
Way bigger than him. That'll happen, right? When you're as slender of a guy as Alex against these bigger centers, but thought he lost that matchup pretty early, and didn't do enough in early in the possessions to sort of force JV out of the paint where I'm sure the Wizards would prefer him to be. Apart from that, like I mentioned, some Anthony Gill minutes, he made a bucket. He had some decent defensive possessions, but he's not what you really want as your answer to back up Saar. But he had to fill in for the Wizards with the lack of center depth they have. And when both of those backups are out, I tweeted it out in my keys. I expected Anthony Gill to play. He did. And so, apart from that quiet game from Champagne, quiet offensive game from Jameer. Thought he had some pretty good defensive possessions. 2 blocks and a steal for him, which is nice to see. But it's another loss for Washington. They fall to 10-33, 6-15 at home. They've lost 8 straight games. And again, like I try to warn Wizards fans, like this is gonna happen. It's not surprising to me that they have gone on this big losing streak since acquiring Trae Young and trading off CJ McCollum, who they had a pretty heavy reliance on. offensively. Going to take some time to adjust to that. And they're also not putting out probably the best lineups that they can. And as a result, they are losing a lot of games. Now you look at the tank standings. Charlotte had another big win. That's who Washington plays next. And by the way, it was supposed to be a 6 p.m. tip-off on Saturday in Charlotte. It got moved to noon on Saturday because of the impending weather. I don't know if I know here at Penn State we're going to get a bunch of snow. I think the DMV area is also going to get a huge portion of this snowstorm. But that game got moved up 6 hours to noon because of that predicted weather. But they had, I think, like a 30-point win over the Magic. And they're 5-5 with their last 10. They're 17-18. I think it's pretty safe to say that you can move Charlotte out of the contention for that, like stealing a bottom four record from the Wizards. Like, I think they're pretty firmly at 17-28, gonna probably get to 28-30 wins maybe on the season. And the Wizards probably won't even sniff 22 or 23, maybe not even 20. And so I think at this point, it's safe to say that Charlotte's kind of out in that standings race. Below them, you have Utah at 15-19. They won pretty recently. I don't know who they beat, but it was a decent team. It might've been the Spurs actually on the road, but Keontae George is playing really good for Utah. And at 15 wins, they're on pace for, again, 25 to 27, 28 wins, which I think is going to far outpace what the Wizards can possibly do. So I'm not ready to eliminate them from contention as of yet. But certainly, they're playing much better than people thought. And that brings you to your bottom five, which is, 10 wins is Indiana, New Orleans, and Washington. You got the Kings at 12-33. You got the Nets at 12-30. And the Wizards have a pretty firm spot in that bottom four. They are 2.5 games worse than the Brooklyn Nets. But that's kind of your bottom five. And I think maybe with Sacramento, they're 4-6 over their last 10. Like, they're playing better basketball. Maybe they are a team to look out for. I mean, the Nets have, I think, scored below 70 points, which is hilarious because you had a bunch of Nets fans kind of crying that the Wizards were actively tanking, saying that they need to take their pick away. And the Nets have just been egregiously tanking over the last couple of games and honestly weeks. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to complain, then you got to be able to accept complaints against your team. But again, it's a competitive loss for the Wizards. They're playing better as of late in terms of this losing streak, which is kind of sad to say. But they fall 107 to 297 to a really good Denver team. They didn't have Jokic, but was healthy pretty much otherwise. They didn't have Cam Johnson. But the Wizards end up losing 107 to 297. Michael Winger had a press conference also before the game. And I don't want to do too much time on sort of what Winger said. I think my friends at Locked On Wizards are going to do a full breakdown of that tomorrow, so you can check that out on their channel. But one of the things I just wanted to note real quick, and my friend Ben Strober tweeted this out. This is a quote from Michael Winger. Quote, "As a reminder, we are not pursuing short-term success. We believe that mediocrity is frankly easily achievable, but there's a very low ceiling of hope." End quote. He also said the Wizards have completed the deconstruction phase of their rebuild and doesn't want to put a barometer on what their success can be next year, but obviously thinks that they should be a lot better. Imagine hearing that 2-3 years ago when Tommy Shepard was here, that mediocrity is not what you're looking to achieve. You don't want just short-term success. Like, they're trying to build this out and sort of make it something that can be compatible and successful for the long run. And that's music to my ears. It should be music to most Wizards fans' ears because for a while, that was the goal, is just, get near the play-in, win 35 to 40 games, and be content with the fact that you are semi-competitive for half the season. No longer is that the case. And again, like, there's a long way to go before you can sort of take this big victory lap about Dawkins and Winger in this front office. But they're doing a great job. They're saying all the right things. And to hear that from one of the Wizards' top executives is not only refreshing, but it sort of, showcases the case that things are now versus what they used to be with the old regime. So, again, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Wizards fall 107 to 97. They fall to 10-33. They lost 8 straight games pretty firmly in that bottom four, so that's nothing to worry about. And we'll be back for an early one, I guess, after that Charlotte game on Saturday. So, it's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, as always. Go with